Hey, is this Greg?
Hey, this might be him.
Greg, it's Dave Sedillo.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm calling you to talk to you on my podcast, man.
That's what I kind of heard.
Welcome to the Epilogue Cabin. I'm your host, Dave Sedillo. On today's show, we talk to Greg, a bivocational pastor and a lifelong learner. Stay with us. So, Greg, what would you say is one of your favorite high school memories?
Oh, one that I remember was giving Melissa a kiss on the football field after we had won the Lexington game and were going on to the state finals. Was probably one of the times I remember. Like I said, there are so many things. I heard some of what she was saying, just the different, all things, of course, with sports and things that we enjoyed. But probably just that we were, of course, at that time, we weren't going together, and so I can still remember running across the field and grabbing her and kissing her, and so it was kind of a neat moment I'll always remember.
Oh, sweet mystery of life, at last I found thee. Oh, I know at last the secret of it all.
So other than getting married to Missy, what do you think about your high school experience affected who you are now or what you do now?
Yeah. Me and Melissa married. We were both, I was on a totally different sheet of paper, I always say. We were singing two different songs. And I guess as I look back to high school, I wish I'd paid attention a little more now, but I do think that now that I've come to faith in Christ and God has changed my heart, and I think I really, as I look back, I constantly in preaching refer to my days in athletics and little things that just persevering, staying in there, working at it. I look back over the years of our high school, particularly our football team. I've said this over the years, we were a group of guys that came from all kinds of different backgrounds, and we had the Cowboys in our day and time, the preppy guys, and all different kinds, but we kind of came together and as a we all know that there were some issues, but we were able to come together and at least have a good season and made it to the state finals, and I take all that's just part of life, learning to work together, work with people. And I think all of those experiences from that were very helpful.
Okay. And what position did you play? I don't know if I ever knew that.
Yeah, I was a tackle. I was it's kind of funny, you look back on that, I was about 100 and probably 80 pounds. I'm beyond that now, but it's funny, I was kind of one of the, I guess you would consider, bigger guys. And, it's amazing that you see high school football teams. It's nothing to have several guys with the over 200. Some of them can get up close to 300 pounds, And so, I was an offensive tackle.
Okay. If you could send yourself a message back in time, or if you could change something that you did, what would that be? Or what would those be?
Well, for me, one of the things I've been pastoring probably for 8 or 9 years, and I had a guy that was a professor at a Christian school that was in our home, and he said something that I've never forgotten. He was trying to encourage me to go back to school. I had well, I don't know how you'd say it, very weakly made it through Crowder and graduated, but I had a terrible grade point average, and he said something to me I never will forget. He said, he had a PhD, and he said, I will always be learning. Even if I'm not earning a degree, I will always be a learner. And I guess that's the thing I look back over my life, particularly I've always struggled with being able to spell. I'm not a great reader, but I look back so much. I was just anxiety about not learning to learn and to slow down. And I realize now that everybody learns in different ways. There's different ways we gather information, the way we take on things. But
yeah.
If I can say myself, would probably just slow down and pay attention. And some of the little things I thought were so stupid that would not have been necessary. I work for Praxair. I'm in the gas business now, and I wish I'd been teaching in chemistry class and some of those other classes, because it sure would have been helpful to what I do today.
If I'm hearing you right, it sounds like when we were teenagers, it was almost like a stigma or an embarrassment to admit that you didn't know something. Yep. Whereas now, as an adult, it's okay to go, you know what? I don't know. I need to learn.
And I think that's the wisdom of learning. And I think as you get older, one of the things I have discovered, I didn't know this. As a young guy, I grew up out on a country road, and I had this idea that a guy, if he had a, if your doctor or somebody had a PhD, they just knew everything.
Yeah.
Well, I've met a lot of PhDs and a lot of doctors that don't know a lot, And my point is that, again, that, they're learning to, knowledge is great, learning wisdom over the years, and you're exactly right. I kind of heard some of the conversation about the class reunion. I think this is the beauty of us coming together, is that as we get older, my father said, as he used to attend my mother's class reunion, said, the older we get, we find that some of that stuff drops off. And I would probably add to my father's thought that I think that we begin to, as we age, to realize, we don't all have it all figured out, and it's okay. That's the point of coming to faith in Christ, is realizing that you cannot fix your problem, and so that's when life really begins. If I could send a message back, would be, slow down, and not everybody's got it figured out, and learn what I could learn. Find that everybody has a forte, a gift. Not everybody's going to be a public speaker, but not everybody can be a mechanic. We come into the classroom and seeing James Rollins come through the door. He can take an engine apart, put it back together. I kind of figured out after marrying into a family of mechanics that I kind of found out where the engine's at. It's usually in the front. But you don't have to know all that. And it's so easy when you're younger to get intimidated. If you're a mimic that, I can't change light bulbs, or if you're good at that, you sometimes don't see the value of other things, I guess, learning. I see sometimes guys that are good with their hands don't value, wanting to do any of that kind of stuff. So, yeah. That would be something that I would probably say to myself, would be, slow down and be a lifelong learner.
Okay, a couple more questions here. What things about you have changed since high school?
Yeah, but what's changed with me? I don't know. I want to think again. Trying to be spiritual, but I really do believe the Lord has changed my heart. I just view everything. It's opened the whole world to me. My father loved him deeply, but he was kind of a Newton County man. It was if you couldn't get it at Newton County Hardware in Neosho, you just really didn't need it, and there was no need to travel anywhere. And by God's grace, I've been able to travel to, went to Mexico, got a nephew that's serving as a missionary in Peru, so I've been able to go down there, and it's just been kind of neat. The world is kind of open to me. Been able to visit, like New York City. I don't get to travel a lot, but, sometimes...
You've been to New York?
Yes, been in New York City. Of course, Melissa's been more than I have. I just would have never... I never valued that. It's kind of like my little brother said. He said... Ed now is a vice principal at Nixa High School, but he said, I used to feel sorry for people who couldn't grow up in Seneca. It's like, there's the only place to go or only place to be. And we're very thankful for our hometown and for our heritage there. But you also begin to see, and I guess I'm saying that I feel like the Lord has changed my heart to be able to see all kinds of people and all, different paths and
So you're saying that you feel different from high school and that you have an appreciation for things that are beyond Seneca, beyond Newton County.
Yeah, I did.
Did you meet any street toughs in New York? Did you ever feel afraid out walking down outside?
Yeah, no, I never really felt afraid, never did. It was, you know, and again, there, I come back, you know, again, Eric, going off on my, but it just, I really think the Lord has given peace to me about a lot of things, because I'm a very, by nature, anxious, worrier, fretter, and, you know, just have that peace to know that everything will be good, and not that you're stupid about things, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a neat place to visit. I definitely wouldn't want to live there, but I sure enjoyed it. Would love to go back. I did. I love the, we got to go to Broadway. You know, I'm kind of a country and western guy that marries the Broadway girl, and so it's just been neat to see. I've just enjoyed, you know, over the years, all the different things. We went to a ballet one time in Tulsa. Now, I think that could replace Capital Punishment, possibly, but if you had to watch one of those. But
I'm not crazy about going to the ballet. Yeah, I don't know if I've been to see the Nutcracker in Kansas City. That's the only ballet I think I've gone to.
I don't want to go again. We've been going to a conference the last 3 years in Nashville, and so we've been able to experience that kind of scene. I like to tell everybody, because I like to brag, but we've sang on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry.
All right.
Ricky Skaggs was our special guest. So we were in New York City, just to tell you more. So it's funny, I got to... Melissa did the years before I did, but I got to escort the ambassador from Iraq to visit our students. I met Bobby Labonte at Columbia University. He was standing there. We were visiting, bringing in the kids, and they were, you know, I was doing kind of what Melissa likes to do, just visiting. And he come up and was standing there, and I said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I race cars." And I talked to him for a little longer, and I said, "Well, what else do you do?" Well, he said, "I just race cars." And I was like, I thought, well, you know, around here, guys that race cars have got two or three jobs to pay for their habit, because, you know, they don't pay nothing to race old cars around here. And I said, "Well, what are you, in the big time or something?" And he said, "Well, kind of." He said, "NASCAR." And I said, "Well, who are you?" And he said, "Bobby Labonte."
And you didn't know the whole time you were talking to him.
I didn't know. I said, "I feel so stupid." I said, "I know your name." And, of course, he had, you know, brother Terry. And anyway, we met his wife and his children there, and we got to speak with his wife a couple, three times, you know. And just neat things that I would have never dreamed of a boy from Seneca. And I know that a lot of our classmates have had wonderful experiences. That's what's going to be cool about you doing these podcasts, is that we'll get to see kind of the insights of some of the of what some of us have seen and experienced.
I didn't know any of this stuff about what you and Missy have done. This is really cool. Okay, if you were stuck somewhere, what would your picks be for Desert Island album or record or CD?
Oh. And of course, we've come to really appreciate Christian music, stuff like that. And I really enjoyed here recently a series by Kim Burns on country and western music, which just, it's kind of crazy, revived a lot of my growing up with Merle Haggard and Charlie Pride.
Yeah, yeah. I've been watching that too.
Yes, it's very good. I really enjoyed it. Just, of course, stirred a lot of memories. But, and then, you know, the other side is, I mean, like, you know, in high school, the ZZ Top for us, the REO Speedwagon Chicago, Huey Lewis, you know, all those guys. I just like music, and like you said, and it, in those days, a lot of times you listen, I didn't really listen to the songs, and it's funny now that I've gotten older, and again, I think it's the Lord's has changed my heart, is that some of them I hear, and I'm like, oh, wow, the lyrics in that are really risky, or they've got a neat scene. I was listening the other night on YouTube, REO Speedwagon, you know, one of their songs, and I'm just like, wow, you know, there's really a neat, it's kind of a love ballad, you know, if you think about it. So, yes, I don't know, it's not much of an answer. I probably Can I just take my iPhone because it's got all kinds of stuff?
Well, yeah. It sounds like if you were going to tune in a station, if you were stuck with one, it sounds like you would be flipping back between country, western, Christian, and 80s.
Yeah, that's right.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried. A one and only rebel child from a family meek and mild, my Mama seemed to know what lay in store. Despite all my Sunday learning, towards the bad I kept on turning, till Mama couldn't hold me anymore. I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried.
Did you always like country music?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with it. Yeah, I grew up with country and western and loved blue. I've always had a kind of love for bluegrass music, country and western. We never listened to any kind of a big band or, anything like that. We would have never thought about going to a musical or anything as a family. And then, of course, Mary Melissa, and she grew up, they loved the Lawrence Welk show. And
we invite you to dance one and two and...
Her dad is always, that's what things people probably wouldn't know about Gail Webb, but he's always loved it. We call it grocery store music, playing in his truck. A lot of times you get in his truck, and he's always enjoyed that. And so, yeah, I guess that's something that Melissa was very instrumental in helping me see that and to value that.
Desert Island movie. What movie would you never get sick of watching, do you think?
Well, it wouldn't be a movie. It'd be the Andy Griffith Show.
Series.
I'm an Andy Griffith theologian. We watch those. We're Amazon Prime folks, and so we watch Andy, just all the time.
All right, and the last one, what would your Desert Island book be?
Yeah, of course, the Bible. I mean, that would be something I hated reading as a kid, and I'm still not a great reader, but books are something. And I've got a small library in the house.
You ever do e-books?
Not really. I'm kind of a weirdo. I like to hold them and touch them. My son is a modern pastor. He does everything, with brings it down on the screen and does all of his research pretty well that way. He's a book guy too, but he likes computers. But yeah, by my chair downstairs, I'm right now preaching through 1 Corinthians, so I've got 7 or 8 different commentaries there. So, I don't know, probably some kind of a one-volume commentary that would help me. Yeah, that'd be a tough one. I don't know.
Okay, think about it. I'm sure it's going to be a while before you're stuck on a desert island.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Thank you. Yeah, I'll take my iPhone because I could probably get that.
You really are addicted to that thing.
I am. I need help. I really do. Yeah. No. Talk about the young people. So, yeah.
I do like hearing you talk about commentaries, though, because I'm glad I'm not alone there. When I'm watching a movie, I like to go back, either a movie or a series, and if there's a good commentary on it, I will soak that up like a sponge. And Jenny, my wife, she goes,
Oh, you love minutia. I can't stand that much minutia.
I love it.
I do too. Yeah, the story behind the story is cool.
Yeah,
and that's my problem with YouTube. I can be listening to some guy expound the scripture, and the next time I'm watching police stories and arresting and
some mafia thing.
I'm a nut. So yeah, I need help.
I'll pray for you, Greg.
Hey, I appreciate it. So are we about got it in the pot?
Yeah,
here?
I was going to tell you that does it. I appreciate both of you so much. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dave.
Those sad guitars indicate that another episode of the Epilogue Cabin is almost over. I'd like to thank Greg for being on the show. Hey, if you would like to be a guest, just send me a message on Facebook or email me, djcedillo@earthlink.net. Music for the show provided by Burial Gate and the Foster Brooks Brothers. I'm David Cedillo. We'll see you next time.